I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Happy Friday, everybody. Noah Hiles going to join us from 8 o'clock until 9. We've got Tony Busilli from The Wild Things at 9:35 until the end of the show, talking about the great celebrity softball game coming up on Monday. Doran brings it to my attention that Cam Hayward, who is the dude at this softball tournament, or softball game, just like you, Doran, he was 83rd in the NFL's top 100.
Yes.
Is that like a predictor of future success? Like how they feel that these guys are going to fare this season?
I think it's based off of last season, right?
Well, then he's terribly underrated right. On that.
Mm-hmm.
There are not 83 or 82 NFL players right now better than Cam Hayward was last season.
Nope.
That dude was an all-pro. He was the Steelers' best player last year. All due respect to Chris Boswell.
Yes.
He was a menace, a maniac. As good as he's ever been, and he's like 65 years old.
I'm watching these clips right now.
Yeah.
I mean, the NFL posted about Cam Hayward with his 83rd ranking.
Mm-hmm.
And he is just absolutely dominant. Like, we see Cam Hayward finish plays, right? Like, Cam Hayward, what he did last year, it was all about the finish and what he did on the back end. But I'm watching these plays and what he's doing on the front end and what he is, he's manhandling these offensive linemen like they're kids. Like, that's the stuff you don't see, because whenever you're watching a game, you just see the finish. Like, you're watching so many different things.
Right.
And Cam Hayward gets the guy down to the ground, or the quarterback, he gets a sack, or, you know, he runs the guy down, you see the finish. But you don't see what he does at first, and it is unbelievable.
I don't have the numbers in front of me. I'm pulling them up right now. My guess would be that he had at least 8, like, pass deflections last year.
That literally just popped up, all his pass deflections.
11?
Yep.
11?
Yep.
Even popping I'm over right here off. Selling him short. So Cam, even when he wouldn't get there, he puts those big, meaty clackers up in the air and just swatting balls down left and right. 8 sacks for our guy. We'll talk to Tony Busilli at 9:35 about the celebrity softball game, and all the proceeds go to the Hayward House. Hayward, a charitable man, a Walter Payton Man of the Year. And you, Doran, are a charitable man yourself. And I always look forward to the softball game every year, and Tony will tell some great stories and tell everybody what they can expect when they attend this bad boy on Monday. ESPN ranked every team in the NFL's offseason, or I guess graded every team in the NFL's offseason. They gave the Steelers a C. Biggest move, signing Aaron Rodgers. Move they liked, earning 4 projected compensatory picks. Move they disliked, trading Minkah Fitzpatrick for Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith. I saw ESPN came out yesterday. Jeremy Fowler does this every year. Ranking players position by position, talking to executives, talking to coaches, talking to front office people. Minkah was the 9th best safety in the NFL last year, according to a bunch of ball knowers. If that's the case, then they should have traded him.
Mm-hmm.
9th doesn't make him bad. 9th makes him very good. You are in the upper third of starting free safeties in the NFL, and you're top 10 of the 64 starting safeties in the NFL. No one's arguing Minkah not a good player. He is a good player. He ain't the best safety in football and was being paid like it.
That's what, yes.
And that's the thing. That's why I think he is so vastly overrated in some spaces. Like, the only way you can dislike that trade is if you think that Minkah is far and away the best player in that deal. Because you got 2 good players back. Minkah is a good player, but Minkah was not worth the money they were paying him.
So people think that Minkah is better than 2 players, than 2 starters, and 2 former All-Pros?
And I think that's laughable.
Or 1 former All-Pro, 2 Pro Bowlers?
At least this guy thinks that Minkah is better. And the dude who did it, his name is Seth Walder. I'd actually never heard of him before. That's what he must think. He must think Minkah's clearly the best player. And PFF, for what it's worth, disagrees. Jalen Ramsey the best player in the deal, and Jonnu Smith the top five tight end in the NFL last year. And that might actually be selling him short based on the numbers he accrued. But that's not even what I wanted to quibble with. And I gave the Steelers offseason a B. You gave the Steelers offseason an A. This Seth guy writes, the most likely outcome of the Rodgers signing by far is disappointment and a wasted season. Does he not realize that the options were Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, Aaron Rodgers, and Mason Rudolph? If you think Aaron Rodgers would provide a wasted season, what do you think the other guys would do? And what would he have characterized last season as? Is a wasted season going 10-7 and not winning a playoff game? Okay, then yeah, maybe that's what happens with Rodgers. But I'll at least take a shot in the dark and see if he can upgrade over what you've had the last 5 years.
Does this person, or do these people, I guess, do they think that it would be a better season and a not wasted season if they would have signed Sam Darnold to $100 million?
I think, bar none, that is the worst thing the Steelers could have done this offseason.
I mean, they're spending $10 to $13 million on Aaron Rodgers. How can you call this a wasted season whenever you're paying that much for your starting quarterback who has won a Super Bowl and has four MVPs? Like, you didn't spend any money, generally, in NFL terms,
right,
for your quarterback 2 years in a row, 3 years in a row, 4 years in a row.
Which is...
I mean, the max that you've spent is, what, $10 million for Mitch Trubisky?
And that's fine by me.
But that's, I mean, the last 4 or 5 years, you've really not spent that much money at quarterback. Now, obviously, that you need that, so maybe it's like you should spend that money, but if they would have spent that money on Sam Darnold, you're going to try to tell me that they'd be in a better situation? No.
Pony made the argument weeks ago, I would have stuck with Mason Rudolph because he might turn into Geno Smith, he might turn into Sam Darnold. And to that I say, what does that get you? Signing Sam Darnold, is he going to be better here than he was in Minnesota?
No.
Hell no.
No.
And now you're tied to him, and you're paying him a lot of money, and you're not able to do some of the other things you were able to do this offseason. Honestly, if you want to thread the needle, which is what they're trying to do, contend but also not sell the future, they're doing exactly the right thing this year. You spend $13 million on Aaron Rodgers so that you can surround Rodgers and a rookie quarterback next year with talent. You could have spent 20 a season on Justin Fields. The only reason I ever said I wanted Fields more than any other quarterback out there on the market is because I thought you'd get him for cheap.
Right.
And hey, $20 million a year for 2 years is cheap by quarterback standards. It ain't 13 mil.
Right.
And you could accidentally fall in love with Justin Fields too, and you could wind up paying him at the end of those 2 years or at the end of this season, and you have yourself in a Geno Smith or a Sam Darnold situation, which again, isn't the worst place to be if you're trying to be okay, but they should be shooting above that. And so you take your stab at it this year, and then you move off of Aaron Rodgers. And next year, you have your guy. And maybe he works out, maybe he doesn't, but I think we're all okay with the plan. Or at least in this room, we're okay with the plan. The most likely outcome of the Rodgers signing by far is disappointment and a wasted season. Okay, what if they suck? That's not bad either.
But what is disappointed in a wasted season in their terms?
Right.
Because we know what that looks like here. Disappointed in a wasted season is what we got like last year.
And even then, nobody wants to be used to it, but we are. And we only have to meander through quarterback purgatory one more year because next year you're going to get the guy. And maybe he doesn't work out, but there's 3 years there where you're thinking, okay, let's see how this goes and let's watch his development. And it's a different era of Pittsburgh Steelers football. I'm okay with one more year of throw darts at a board and find your old quarterback.
Right.
It's just one more year. So I can't disagree with it. If they were paying him $35 million, I would vehemently disagree with it because you probably don't get DK Metcalf. You probably don't wind up with Jalen Ramsey. You probably don't wind up with Jonnu Smith. And so your rookie quarterback's coming in next year and he's not surrounded with a bunch of good pieces. But I wanted a cheap quarterback, and that's what they got in Aaron Rodgers. I think worst case scenario, they're 9-8. I think best case scenario, they're 12-5 and win a playoff game. And I'm okay with the concept of that, knowing full well that they've got 12 draft picks next year.
Yes.
So I think I was a little hard on him with a B. You gave him an A. Bob Pompiani gave him an A. C, I think, is too critical. And if you don't like the Minka trade and you don't like the Rogers signing, I guess you have to go with a C. But I love the Minka trade, and I'm more than okay with the Rogers signing.
I just don't know what direction people expected them to go. Like, I mean, you know, I think they did the best that they possibly could do with the trades and the acquisitions that they've made this offseason. Like, I don't know, like, what did you want them to go try to trade for Lamar Jackson? Like,
right.
Like, they basically did and got who was out there and who was available, and even more.
I guess the best case would have been a Matthew Stafford, but you and I have had this talk.
Matthew Stafford's never coming here.
And you said it. If you take Rodgers, last year's version of Rodgers, and you slap that guy into Sean McVay's system, they might wind up in exactly the same place.
Yes.
We're probably all thinking Rodgers is still got it here at 41. Playing in a dome, playing with that scheme, playing with the Puka Nacuas of the world and Cooper Kupp, and running the ball effectively, and a young, good defense. So is Matthew Stafford that much better than Aaron Rodgers, or was his circumstances better?
Like, people are forgetting Matthew Stafford's almost 38 years old.
He ain't no spring chicken.
Like, you know, people are like thinking that he's like 34. He's almost 38. Mm-mm. Like, he's older too.
What did ESPN grade? What grades, I should say, did the ESPN dude hand out for the other AFC North teams? We'll get to that coming up next. Plus, Najee Harris almost lost an eye in a fireworks accident. So we got to talk about that. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text us, brought to you by Edgar Steiner and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So ESPN has graded every NFL team's offseason. They give the Steelers a C. What do they give the other AFC North teams? We'll start with Baltimore. They give them a B+. And I don't really understand it, because a lot of the criticism of the Steelers offseason has been they're getting older. Old quarterback. Old corner in Darius Slay. North of 30, Jalen Ramsey. Jonnu Smith around 30 years old. All the team's getting old. The three guys that the Ravens have signed, their biggest free agent acquisitions are DeAndre Hopkins, Jair Alexander, and Chidobe Awuzie. Awuzie north of 30, Jair Alexander south of 30, however, has played just 14 games the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Seven games in each of the last 2 years. The dude's been banged up as hell. And DeAndre Hopkins, he was okay with Kansas City last year, but that guy's not young. But they get a B+. Why? Because they're the Ravens.
Of course.
That's how that goes.
Well, yeah, because they're closer.
Sure.
They're closer, and they were closer last year, and it's like, okay, they've added these pieces. Maybe they're getting over that hump.
Let's say the Steelers had Lamar Jackson at quarterback, and you have the Steelers offseason. Isn't it better than what the Ravens did? Didn't you bring in more impactful players than they did?
Yes.
The biggest move that they liked for the Ravens was re-signing left tackle Ronnie Stanley. And that's important because if you don't pay him, you wind up with a Dan Moore Jr., somebody like that. So yeah, that's a shrewd, good business move. That doesn't make you better, though. He was on the team last year.
He's already there, right.
So that's not an upgrade. And I'm not here to just poo-poo the division rivals off seasons and then prop up the Steelers off season, but they didn't have to make as many impactful moves. You're right about that. But the ones they did were old guys or injured guys, and yet they get a B+. The Bengals, I think this is, maybe I am going to tear all the other teams down. The Bengals got a C+. Biggest move, they write, extending Jamar Chase. No doubt about that. But again, that does not represent an upgrade. How can you screw things up so royally with your number one draft pick and with your best defensive player and we're sitting here giving this team a C plus.
Right.
And while things aren't all warm and fuzzy between the Steelers and TJ Watt, I will tell you, I feel infinitely better about the Steelers' chances of giving Watt a contract than I do about Trey Hendrickson signing with the Bengals. That organization is, year after year, historically cheap. Money in escrow, things of that nature, things I don't understand. They might lowball that guy. He might actually hold out. So how in the world can they get a better grade than the Steelers? Just because they brought back Ja'Marr Chase?
Yeah, I think this is all defined on, you know, how close. I guess offseason moves do link up with
the talent you already have.
The talent you already have, and if you kept them around or not.
That said, though, if I were going to grade the Bengals offseason, and for the purposes of this year radio segment, I suppose I will, I would say, what have you done to upgrade the defense? And the answer is nothing.
Just draft.
Just draft and firing Lou Anarumo.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
And possibly losing your best player.
Right.
Yeah.
The league's leading sack guy might not be back next year. And they didn't make the playoffs. Why? Because their defense was ass. I think they've had a horrendous offseason. You keep your quarterback happy, and that means a lot. And you've got Higgins and you've got Chase. That means a lot. It does not upgrade you. And you had a historically good offensive season last year, and you still weren't able to finish higher than the Steelers did in the division. That is a crime. If I'm a Bengals fan, I'm actually furious right now about the way this offseason has gone.
Cleveland looked like.
They were given a B+. Their draft made zero sense to me.
Zero. Except for maybe Judkins, or one of the Ohio State running backs. I think it was Judkins.
And they took two. That's the thing I don't understand. Like, you trade back from 2 to 5, and at that exact moment, we were on the air, and we're like, oh, man, that's good business by the Cleveland Browns. But then they use that to take the draft picks they accrued there to take two running backs, and they drafted two quarterbacks, one in the third and one in the fifth, for God's sakes. So how in the world is that a good offseason? They have two first-round picks for next year. Okay, that's good. And they're... You'd think trying to stink, but I think it's been a horrendous offseason for them.
Well, re-signing Myles Garrett.
But that doesn't make sense to me with everything else they've done. Like, if you're trying to stink, they're not going to be good next year. They're not going to be good in 2 years. They've got a significant rebuild on their hands. Yeah, it makes sense to get asses in seats.
Mm-hmm. Is this a Crosby situation kind of thing? Obviously,
yeah,
different, but it's like,
but he ain't ever won crap. Yeah.
It's different, but like, we got to keep our guy around,
right?
Even though that we're going to stink. So,
if you're getting a B+ because you're putting all your chips into next year and the following year, then by that logic, according to Seth Warder or whoever the heck put this list together for ESPN, you should have been trying to trade Myles Garrett to get draft capital.
Yes, you could have got a lot at the time. Insane, and then drafted Abdul Carter. Like,
yes.
I don't understand that.
And, dude, they passed up on arguably the best overall player in the draft, Travis Hunter.
Yep.
There's a bunch of different ways to slice it for the Brownies here, and I don't think you can go higher than a C.
Who's the other running back they drafted?
So they drafted Quidshon Judkins, and I forget. I just don't think any of the teams in the AFC North had a better offseason than the Steelers. I don't. Now, they have further to go than the Ravens, significantly so. There's no question about that. We saw how they played them in the postseason last year. So when you have to do less in an offseason, I can understand grading on a curve. And they're going to be really good again. But if the Steelers had Lamar Jackson just to play that game and they didn't get Aaron Rodgers, the moves that they made are significantly more impactful than that of the Ravens. The Steelers got DK Metcalf. They got DeAndre Hopkins. They got Jair Alexander. Good player when healthy. Hadn't been healthy in 2 years. The Steelers got Jalen Ramsey, a better football player. Slightly older, but he was healthy last year and kicked ass. You got a Pro Bowl tight end who had nearly 900 receiving yards without Tua Tagovailoa. Every one of those moves is more impactful than any of the moves the Ravens made. But again, they didn't have to.
Right, they already had those.
They
guys.
Already had good players like Mark Andrews. You don't need Jonathan Smith. You got Mark
Andrews. Isaiah Likely.
And you got Isaiah Likely. Like, I do get that, and so I'm not saying that they needed to go out of their way to make moves. But one of the reasons why people knock the Steelers' moves is, oh, old, over the hill, and they go out there and they get 2 30-plus-year-old guys and someone who has only played 14 games the last 2 years. Worth taking flyers, especially when you're deeper than the right. Steelers are. But if we're going to say the Steelers are getting old guys, well, so are the Ravens. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts on ESPN's list, 412-928-9370. Najee Harris, injured in a fireworks accident. Sounds like superficial wounds, going to be good to go for training camp, which means we can have fun with this. If he was significantly injured, I don't know if I'd want to bring it up. It's a morning show here. We don't need to be talking about grotesque eye injuries. What are some of the weirder injuries in the history of sports, though? I have compiled a list for you, Dorn.
Oh.
There's some weird ones out there, buddy.
I know a few.
I know you do.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that coming up next.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There was a nasty rumor that started up over the weekend that Najee Harris lost his eye in a firework incident, and there were no substantial reports on any of that, so we didn't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Right.
We ain't into that kind of speculation. Nope. No. This is a guy's life we're talking about, guy's career we're talking about. Well, his agent comes out and says, yes, there was a firework incident, but the injuries sustained by Najee Harris were superficial. So thank God, because we saw it before with Jason Pierre-Paul. He lost fingers in a firework
accident. I blocked Jason Pierre-Paul a lot in college, and then I blocked him a couple times in the pros. And it was odd blocking a guy that had a regular hand with regular fingers and then having three fingers. It was very weird.
He has obviously had a fruitful career even after the injury, but... like, what does he do in traffic? Like, if he gets pissed off at someone, you throw up a bird? I don't know. Probably not.
I don't know.
Probably an unfair question to ask. Fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. So I've compiled a list of some of the weirdest sports injuries of all time. And a texter writes in, this is a really good one. So in 1999... the Browns and Jags were playing, and Orlando Brown, a Browns offensive tackle, was hit in the eye by a penalty flag.
I remember watching that. I remember sitting down and watching that game when I was like, what, 13 years old.
Jeff Triplett threw the flag.
His eye was all messed up.
It was nasty.
Yeah.
And then he got suspended because he pushed the ref.
Yep.
He was temporarily blinded. He was in significant pain. He later sued the league, claiming the injury ended his career.
Did he win? He had to win something.
He settled with the NFL for a sum between $15 million and $25 million.
Oh, my goodness.
So not all bad. And was that the reason? Maybe. Maybe not. But good for him.
I mean, think about Jeff Triplett throwing that flag. Like, you were intentionally throwing at his face.
Yep.
I remember it, and I haven't watched it in a while, but I remember it clear as day. He threw it right at his helmet.
Right at his face.
Now, he probably didn't mean to hit him in the eye. It probably just a freak accident where it went through the opening of the face mask, but he meant to throw it at him.
Think about the trajectory on that throwing of the flag there.
Yeah, you usually throw it up, right?
Yes.
You toss it up. He went whip right at his face.
Yeah, he had that thing primed and ready to go.
Yeah.
Usually you're just reaching into the pocket, and you're bent. Which I love that motion. 68,000 Steelers fans are going to be doing that week two of the NFL season. I love that. Every single fan in the Hey! Francisco Liriano. his Pirates career was outstanding. I heard Donnie, was it Donnie or was it Pony or Muller? One of the three of them put together their top 25 Pirates of the last 20 years. Francisco Liriano belongs somewhere in the top 10. I mean, he was dynamite. He fractured his non-pitching arm in a bathroom fall, though details remain unclear. I don't want to jinx myself. I don't think I've ever fallen down in the bathroom.
Yeah, knock on wood. I think I slipped and fell out of the bathtub one time.
Coming out of bathtub. You know what? That probably did as a kid. Yeah,
as a kid. And I remember my dad laughing again. Remember I told you about when I got my foot stuck in the fence?
And they were in the fence, yeah.
Yeah, he laughed again when I fell out of the tub because I was naked. Looking all dumb.
Slipping around the bathroom.
Yeah.
Courtney Brown, not Orlando Brown, excuse me. Texter, how come you guys haven't said anything about the bowling event this weekend in Crafton? It's called Balls Out. It's a nude bowling event.
Weren't you supposed to do that a couple of years
ago? I was supposed to do that a couple of years ago, and then I didn't, and Harry said he gladly would. Harry, would you be interested in a nude bowling event?
Yeah. But you said that you wouldn't go because you wouldn't want your grandparents to die, because you said the last two times you went bowling, one of your grandparents died each time. But now you don't have any more grandparents. But then you said you're afraid that, like, you know, Doran or me might die afterwards, and so you just don't want to go. But I remember we talked about nude bowling 2 years ago specifically.
He's just chewing right through.
Yeah, are you just eating? Like,
he's hammering right through.
What are you eating right now?
Cereal.
Just raw dog in the cereal. We're not talking any milk or nothing like that. Just dry cereal.
Does it look like I put milk in his bag? I'm holding the bag. It's a little plastic bag. I'm putting milk in the bag. Yeah, I'm raw dogging the cereal, I guess, then.
Yeah, I don't have an excuse anymore to not go nude bowling, except that I'm an adult who doesn't want to be bowling naked.
Well, you're a big-time radio host, too. I mean, everybody would know it was you.
I think there's probably got to be a no phones sort of waiver you got to sign.
Even if there's no phones, the people that are there doing it with you probably would recognize
word of mouth.
Word of mouth, yeah.
Well, joke's on them, because they'd be happy with what they see. They'd be impressed. Be great word of mouth for me.
Walking around that place.
Do it.
You seemed way more willing 2 years ago before I learned about the grandparents dying.
Yeah, I had this weird thing, for those of you who don't know, that the last two times I'd ever gone bowling, I received calls that I had a grandparent that died. So I'm pretty superstitious, not going to do it. Well, now I'm out of grandparents. But is it just a grandparent thing, or is it someone I know? Like, if I go bowling now because the grandparents are gone, is someone else I care about going to die? Like, intern Dom. Like, you would hate to see that.
Man.
I know.
But, like, before you told me that story, like, when we talked about it a couple years ago, there was one in Crafton, and you said that you'd be willing to go with me, and then you got sick. But then I think you told me the story, but you seemed willing on the air to do it.
Yeah, he's always willing to do stuff on the air.
Yeah, so you're taking a 180 now?
Just think about reaching down to get a ball. And sometimes they come up that chute real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want a bend over situation there where something's getting smashed between a couple bowling balls. You know what I'm saying?
What?
People get their fingers jammed all the time because you're reaching for a ball, and then one of the balls comes up the chute and your finger gets caught in there.
When has your crotch ever been that close?
That's what I'm saying. What are you? You're
bending over, I've got no protective. I've got nothing protecting
me
down there.
When you bend over, your hips go back.
Right.
Good point.
What?
No, I'm not doing it.
Ron Jeremy over there?
Yeah.
I'd do it, though, for the record, yeah.
Remember when Nick Harper got stabbed the night before the divisional round game? So Steelers, Colts, divisional round game. Jerome Bettis fumbles the football. Nick Harper picks it up. He had been stabbed in the thigh by his lady the night before. And so he was not at 100%.
Whoa. Kind of do.
Had he not been stabbed, maybe Jerome Bettis doesn't wind up in the Hall of Fame.
Well, you got to throw Joey Porter and Plaxico getting shot and shooting himself.
Plax shooting himself. Joey Porter, they shot me in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Adams got stabbed.
He got stabbed
in the abdomen.
Side. Yeah. Yeah. Remember that?
Joey Porter's dog once ate a horse.
What?
Look it up. Joey Porter had some dogs, and they got loose, and he lived on big property, and it jumped over a fence and mauled a horse to death. That might be urban legend. I'm going to have to look it up.
Didn't Michael Vick have something to do with dogs, too?
Yeah. Thank you for that contribution, Harry. That wasn't useless at all.
We didn't need that.
No, didn't need to do that.
We didn't need that at all.
Mm, completely unnecessary. I got some more ones in here. Sammy Sosa threw out his back sneezing.
Okay.
Which yesterday, dude, I texted you in Boston. I bent over to pick up a strawberry that my daughter threw on the ground, and my back went out. I bent over to pick up a damn strawberry. My funniest injury, actually, was at a wedding, though. You know this story. I was trying to do a cartwheel. I was all hammered the night before a wedding, and I separated my shoulder trying to do a cartwheel. I can't do a cartwheel sober, for God's sakes. What else I got here? Pro Football Hall of Famer Turk Edwards, offensive tackle, called the coin toss in a 1940 game with the Giants, shook hands with the Giants captain, turned, his cleat got caught in the turf, and his knee buckled. He never played again.
Oh, my goodness.
Glenn Healy, Toronto Maple Leafs goalie. He played bagpipes, and in the 2000 offseason, he was cutting the bag off of his instrument, and he gashed the thumb on his left hand, requiring 10 stitches. Lionel Simmons played so much Game Boy one season during his rookie year, he wound up with tendonitis in his thumbs. Roger Federer, January 2016, running a bath for his twin daughters, turned, heard a click in his left knee, suffered a torn meniscus, was forced to undergo surgery. Oh, my God. And these are the greatest athletes out there.
There's the freak ones are the ones that get me, like the ones that you're like celebrating. Like, who was that recently that just tore their Achilles?
Oh, for the Mets closer who was in the World Baseball Classic, who was jumping around celebrating the final out of the game and tore his knee. Who was that, Harry? Who was the Mets closer who hurt his knee in the World Baseball Classic?
Edwin Diaz.
Edwin Diaz, yeah.
Or how about Kendrys Morales, too, who hit a walk-off home run with the Angels one season, jumped on home plate, tore something, was out for the season.
Nick Gonzalez hits Gonzalez, a home run, bust his leg. And these are the best of the best athletes. We got no shot. Well, I don't. You still probably fit in that category.
No, I got no shot. Like, my body's bad. Like, I can't do anything. I've got no shot.
Remember when AB froze his feet?
Yeah.
Cryo chamber?
Yeah.
Oliver Perez got hurt by a laundry basket. We got more. 412-928-9370. Text him in. Noah Heil's going to join us from 8 o'clock until 9. He had a lot in his mailbag yesterday that is worth discussing. And so we will. 50-minute mark on a fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. Noah Heil's set to join us for the next hour of the show. In his mailbag yesterday, he said that he thinks, if he were to place a bet on it right now, that 2026 would be the last full season Paul Skeens will play in Pittsburgh. So we'll get to that with Noah right off the shoot, and we're going to have a lot of fun with Noah today. He's a very funny man, very good at his job, and he's a youngster like us. So he's a perfect fit for our show. The reason Chris Carter's not going to join us coming up next is because today is his wedding day.
Uh-huh.
We might have to give him some words of advice.
Like what?
A lot of people say don't go to bed mad. Like, that was big advice my parents gave me, and a lot of old people will say that.
Yeah.
I used to believe in that. Now, if the conversation's not going to bear any fruit, I think I'm better off just sleeping on it. My wife's
sleep
better
off
sleeping on it.
Yeah, same.
And then you wake up the next morning, you're not all hot and bothered when you talk about it, and you can actually resolve whatever issue you've had. I vehemently disagree with that long-handed down advice.
I mean, it gives you a better, the percentages are better that, you know, you forget about it and you move on, but there are still situations where, you know, you'll still wake up upset. Like, say,
sure,
you know, those dreams where you have of your significant other and they're
cheating,
doing something. Yeah, and mm-hmm. you think it's real.
Yeah.
Like, that could happen whenever you're mad.
And you wake up and
it's
like,
even double mad.
Yeah, right. And you wake up and you're like, oh, man, we had that fight last night. Oh, you know, I'm still pissed.
Yep.
But you know what? I think it's better than you could have the like, let's say you start an argument with your significant other at 8 p.m. And, hey, don't go to bed mad. Let's see this thing until the end. You could be up until midnight.
Yeah, that's true.
You might as well just take it as far as it goes. If you find that there's not going to be a resolution, you go to bed and you give it a shot tomorrow. So that would be some advice. Yes, Harry.
Yeah, I just had a little bit of a different perspective. Like,
you've been in like half a relationship in your life, but do go ahead.
I've been in several relationships in my life, and I always took it as like, maybe you don't agree with each other, but don't be like personally mad at each other. Don't be doing the attacking thing, because if you do go to bed upset, let's say something happens to the person that you love, Well, then you have regrets for the rest of your life because
there's maybe- that, and I think that's part of why you get that advice. But here's the way I've always looked at that. This is very, this has gone very morbid now, but I don't regret anything in terms of my relationships. Like, a bad moment does not define a relationship. An argument does not define a relationship. Your last interaction with somebody should probably not define your relationship. It should be that relationship as a whole.
That last time, though, like, if you are mad at your significant other and something happens, you probably would live with that.
I probably would just bury it deep within me until one day I explode and probably let it all out on Nicholas Harry Callis.
Right, and that's why the advice stands, yes.
All right, well, you give him your advice then. I'll give him mine, you give him your. We should call him. Should we call Chris?
He's not going to pick up.
No, nor should he. You got any wedding night advice for Chris? We're not doing that. Noah Hiles going to join us next. A lot of people were texting in weird sports injuries. Remember when Martin Gramatica made that kick? And he was celebrating, and then he leaps through the air and tears his ACL.
Yes.
Didn't Gus Frerotte knock himself out by headbutting the padded wall?
Yep.
That was in Washington, right? And they had the concrete wall behind it, and he was knocked out. Yeah, that's no good. All right, Noah Hiles from the Post-Gazette going to be joining us next. First, fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, high of 86, Hines Ward, low of 68, Yarmir Yager, partly cloudy.
Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.